Could your migraines actually be your body quietly asking for water? And are modern habits making dehydration far more common than you think? Welcome to Migraine Heroes, a podcast for people living with chronic migraines with years of pain, misunderstanding, and lack of answers. I'm Diane Ducarme. I've helped more than 1,000 people reduce the burden of migraines and feel more in control. My mission in life? To help 1 million people. Each episode brings you grounded insight into what your body might be asking for and what can truly help. Just to keep you fully supported, this podcast is educational. For diagnosis or medication, always work with your doctor. Now, take a breath and let's dive in. In this episode, you will learn why even mild dehydration can trigger migraines by disrupting brain chemistry and blood flow. The 5 biggest causes of modern dehydration that most people overlook every day, and how to recognize subtle dehydration signals in your body before they escalate into a migraine attack. Stay with me till the end, because at the end of this episode, you will discover a simple hydration practice you can start today that will be very deep and may, in some people, very well reduce migraine frequency. If you live with migraines, you probably know the frustrating feeling. You wake up, your head feels slightly heavy, your concentration drops, and within hours, the pain builds. And many migraine sufferers are going to blame stress, hormones, or sleep, which all can be valid. Yet dehydration is one of the most underestimated triggers. And what makes it even more challenging is that dehydration does not always feel like thirst. Your body may already be under physiological stress long before you feel the urge to drink, or you may feel thirsty constantly in spite of drinking plenty of water. From a scientific perspective, dehydration occurs when the body loses more fluid than it takes in. Disturbing the delicate balance of electrolytes and blood volume required for proper cellular function. The human brain is approximately 75% water, and even a 1 to 2% reduction in body water can influence cognitive performance, pain perception, and blood vessel function. A study published in the Journal of Nutrition found that mild dehydration can impair mood, increase fatigue, and reduce concentration, which are all common pre-migraine symptoms. And just as a reminder, I'm always putting the link to those scientific articles in the show notes. So why dehydration can trigger migraines, first of all? Researchers propose several mechanisms linking dehydration to migraines. The first one, funny enough, is reduced blood volume. When dehydration occurs, blood plasma volume decreases, which can lead to reduced cerebral flow. The brain becomes more sensitive to metabolic stress. Now, why? It's because in your brain, you have 400 miles or 565 kilometers of blood vessels, and we need those fueled. A study in Headache, the Journal of Head and Face Pain, shows that increasing water intake significantly reduced migraine intensity and duration in chronic migraine sufferers. Now, the second one is the activation of pain pathways. The fact that dehydration may stimulate the trigeminal vascular system, the network of nerves responsible for migraine pain. And when fluid balance is disturbed, inflammatory mediators and stress hormones increase, sensitizing pain pathways. So research published in The Lancet Neurology by Godsby et al. Describes how activation of the trigeminal nerves leads to the release of neuropeptides, which are major drivers in migraine pain. And the third mechanism linking dehydration to migraine is that of electrolyte imbalances. Hydration is not just about water. You have potassium, sodium, magnesium, which are considered electrolytes, regulating nerve signaling and vascular tone. Imbalances can make neurons hyperexcitable, which is a hallmark of migraine brains. Studies published in the Journal of Headache and Pain suggest that magnesium depletion plays a role in migraine susceptibility, and dehydration often worsens this imbalance. So you might very well know all of that. And what I want to put emphasis on today is on the fact that most dehydration today is not caused by simply forgetting to drink water, or it can be caused by modern lifestyle factors. And I'm going to give you five of these modern lifestyle factors that can contribute to modern dehydration. The first one is air conditioning and indoor environments. So most modern indoor environments are often very dry, especially when they have heating or air conditioning. This increases insensible water loss through skin and breathing. So the second main cause of modern dehydration is high screen time and cognitive load. There's a fascinating physiological reason why hydration matters so much for the brain. So your brain represents only about 2% of your body weight, yet it consumes around 20% of your body's total energy. And interestingly, roughly 75%, 74% to be exact, of your brain is made of water. So every time you think, concentrate, or you deal with stress, your brain is not just using energy, it's operating within a very delicate fluid environment. And those fluids allow neurons to communicate, nutrients to circulate, and heat and waste to be regulated. In a way, every thought happens in water, which means that even when we are mentally overloaded, tired, or under stress, maintaining healthy hydration becomes essential for keeping the nervous system balanced. In addition, and that's a bit of a sneaky one, when we're deeply focused on screens, we often ignore thirst signals. Research shows that mental workload reduces the perception of thirst, leading to gradual dehydration over many hours. The third is chronic stress. Stress hormones such as cortisol and adrenaline alter fluid balance and kidney function, and so chronic stress may increase fluid loss and reduce awareness of thirst signals. Just think when you go to an exam and you have that urge to pee. I remember my daughter used to do ballet, and before putting their final tutu on, they were all forced to go to the bathroom. And once the tutu was on, they couldn't go anymore because anything left over was just complete stress related. And so when we feel stressed, we feel the urge to pee. The fourth cause of modern dehydration is ultra-processed foods. Modern diets contain large amounts of sodium and low water-rich foods, so processed foods require additional water for digestion and metabolic processing, pulling water from your cells. Now, this one I'm personally really highly sensitive to, because probably I know too much. But, you know, I can tell you this is in the science. It's also in your body, something that you can highly feel if you become very much in tune. And then the fifth one is a bit of a tricky one. It's excessive caffeine consumption. Now, some of you might go, I never have caffeine, for this increases my migraines. But some of you will go the exact opposite and will initially rid themselves of the migraines through caffeine intake. So those second types are the one this message is for. Coffee, energy drinks, and caffeinated sodas are mild diuretics, meaning they increase your urine production. And so over time, literally over months, if not years, you may start to suspect that caffeine starts to contribute to your migraine as well. And that is true. Now you know the reason why. Now, together, these factors create a silent and cumulative dehydration pattern that can prime the brain for migraine attacks. Restoring those fluids is not as simple as drinking water. That may feel confusing, but it is something learned and tested from traditional Chinese medicine. So let's go east for a minute. Traditional Chinese medicine has long understood something we're only beginning to discover in the West, or rediscover in the West, the importance of fluid balance for health of the head and of the brain. In Chinese medicine, body fluids are known as jin yi, the nourishing liquids that moisten the organs, tissues, and channels in the body. And these fluids are not simply water, they're living moisture that keeps the body subtle, calm, and well-regulated. Now, for the funny anecdote, jin is translated as thin fluids, often associated with the lighter, more mobile fluids that moisten the skin and muscles, and yi are thicker fluids, nourishing the deeper organs and joints. So jin yi is, in itself, bringing that idea of those diverse fluids. So to support these fluids, traditional practices are going to recommend warm teas, soups, mineral-rich broth, and water sipped slowly throughout the day. As Chinese medicine gently reminds us, water taken calmly nourishes the body. Water taken in haste passes through In the West, hydration often looks very different. We carry these large plastic bottles and try to rush down 2 liters of water as quickly as possible. But from an Eastern perspective, that is not true hydration. It is simply liquid passing through the body without necessarily nourishing it. In fact, it can actually deplete and form dampness, but that's going to be the object for another podcast. When these deeper fluids become depleted, a condition called yin deficiency can arise. So imagine your body a bit as a factory, and yin is going to be the cooling system, the water system that surrounds it to cool the factory down. It helps regulate the heat, the inflammation generated by all of the work your body performs every day. Keeps the system balanced so that you're not overheating at night, waking with night sweats, or experiencing hot flushes. Most importantly, it allows the brain to remain deeply nourished and stable. When yin is depleted, your body's going to lose that cooling capacity, and the normal vital processes of the body begin to turn hot, and the brain can become more vulnerable to imbalance. As you listen to this, you might really resonate with the perimenopause stage. If you think of your vagus nerve as a big tree, the yin is really the sap that allows for that tree to be nourished and to flourish. And that's when you have migraines at that stage of life. That is what your brain is mainly one of the things it is actually asking for. Ayurveda, another ancient healing tradition, offers remarkable similar insight. From an Ayurvedic perspective, dehydration aggravates the vata dosha, the energy associated with movement, communication, and the nervous system. When vata becomes excessive, people will experience symptoms such as headaches, nervous system sensitivity, light sensitivity, fatigue, irritability. Different traditions, different languages, yet the wisdom converges. In both traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, hydration is not simply about drinking more water. It's about restoring harmony in the body's fluid system, nourishing the body slowly, steadily, in a way that truly supports the brain and the nervous system. Sometimes the most powerful medicine is not more, but more mindful. And as I'm recording this podcast, I'm sipping a Pu'er tea, a traditional Chinese fermented tea known for its deep earthy flavor and often enjoyed slowly for its warming and digestive qualities. Now, one action you can do today. Here's a simple hydration ritual you can start today at home. So when you wake up, immediately after you wake up, like before you dress, before you brush your teeth, before you stand up from your bed, when you're still bedridden and your thorax is just up and your head is just up, I would like you to try to drink one large glass of warm temperature water. If you sit still, you will see that the water is absorbed very differently. It's gonna run deep, really deep, and through another corridor. You will be able to feel it. And I really encourage you to explore that sensation. It is a very unique sensation that is not replicable for the rest of the day. This is water immediately accessible to your brain and transformed into yin. Now, to achieve this immediacy after you wake up, you can guess how could a warm water cup just be magically above my bed? There's nothing magic about this. You're going to need to put a thermos above your bed and fill it with boiling water at night, the night before, so it's warm in the morning. Make that experiment. It's subtle, yet it is very, very significant, provided you can do so every day in a very sort of as a ritual habit. Then remember, every small step you take moves you closer to freedom. You are powerful, you are resilient, and you are not alone. Keep rising, migrant hero.